My name is Brother Frank. I serve here in the church, and I'm super excited to be sharing the message today. Before we get started, let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. We love you. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would show up in power, Lord, and that you would have your way in our hearts, Lord. I just pray for the message, Lord, that it goes out and that it wouldn't return to you void, my God. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. Did you know God loves every one of you this morning? The God who created the universe, the most powerful being ever, loves you guys personally. Now, isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Try to wrap your mind around that. I've tried to. Sometimes it's hard, but I'll give you a minute. Actually, I'm on the clock, so I'm not. The minute is up. But in Ephesians 3:19, the Bible says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Amen? The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5 that I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you. In John 1, in 1 John 3:1, God calls you his child. It says, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that is what we are, his children. Brothers and sisters, he loves you. Come on, give him some praise this morning. Yeah. Give him your highest praise this morning. Amen. That song that was sung about God's goodness, it's, you know, when the night is holding on, God is holding on. As we come into the Memorial Day, you know, the holiday, you know, that's a federal holiday to honor and to mourn those that are have fallen, you know, serving under our service, you know, under the armed forces of the United States. And I had a title that it was called God's Love, but when that song about his goodness, I actually left it the way it was. It's God's Love and Your Ultimate Good, especially during a time of loss. Now, we've all suffered a kind of loss, and this was a message that was developed as I was going through some losses in life. So Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I like this verse. Amen. Especially when I'm in a jam or when I'm in a difficult place or in a place of loss. And there's a good reason people like this verse and think about it. It's because we all suffer. We all experience hardship or loss of some sort. And some of that loss is almost unbearable. I've gone through some, and, you know, life can be painful. We all know that. And I want to go over a couple of types of pains. The first one we kind of all know about, it's a physical pain. If somebody punches you in the shoulder, that's going to hurt. If you're chopping onions and you slice your finger, ouch. You know what I mean? Taking off your shirt, you poke your eye, you know, that, you know, get hit by a dart buzz. I mean, that hurts physically, guys. So physical pain, we're all familiar with that. But then there's this second pain. It's an emotional kind of pain, and it's a pain that alters. Now, the word alter is a verb that means to change or cause to change in character or composition, typically in a small but significant way. So, like, when people are in trials and tribulations, how many of us have asked questions? I know I have. I mean, they're tough. I've asked a lot of questions when I'm in a jam. You know, one of those questions could be, did God cause our suffering? I've asked myself that question, especially if you lose, you know, close friends or family. You know, I'm full of questions then, you know. Or when you're in jail, like I've been, loss of freedom is a thing, and that's painful. I mean, there's just a lot of questions overall. You know, we'll ask ourselves, does God sympathize with us in our suffering? Can he do anything about it? These are all great questions. Questions that I had, and I went to the Word of God to find out what I could about what I was going through. And I don't want to keep you long this morning because I'm already thinking about lunch. I'm just kidding. And I can hear some of y'all stomachs growling already. So, So let's get into God's word, God's love and ultimate good, his goodness for you. So number one, there's 6 points. Number one is God is incredible. God is infinite and unfailing, and he is at work in a suffering world. The promise that God works all things together for good, it doesn't mean that all things taken by themselves are good. I mean, some things and events are decidedly bad. The pandemic, for example, I'm ready for it to be over, but even in the pandemic, God is able to work good. All right, remember, pain that alters, in this case, to alter our thinking about God's love for us, or in this case, God's love for Frank. You see, loss or pain can spiritually alter your direction, whether for good or bad. Romans 8:28 is about God's goodness and our confidence in him. Our confidence that his plan will work out as God sees fit. Not as Frank sees fit, not as Julio sees fit, but as God sees fit. God's plan is always ultimately good, even during a season of loss or pain. And Christians can take confidence in that. Christians can take that to the bank, and no matter our circumstances and no matter our environments, God is active and involved in our daily lives and will conclude things according to his good and wise design and his ultimate good for you. Amen? Amen. All right. When things are difficult, I used to tend to want to run from God. Even when I first started serving him, things would get difficult. I want to grab my ball and go home. But you can't do that. So number two, when things are difficult, cling to God's love because he cares about you. Psalm 31:7 says, I will be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love, for you have seen my troubles and you care about the anguish of my soul. Amen. I like the word unfailing love. Every time I read it, it's powerful. It's an unfailing love. Brothers and sisters, also in the Bible, in James 1:2-8, it teaches us that we can profit from loss. That's the counted out joy verse. Here it is. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Isn't that beautiful? Needing nothing. You know, I like to invest in the stock market, and sometimes I make profits, but I don't learn anything on those profitable trades. It's the trades where I suffer heavy losses that the most valuable lessons are learned. Pain that alters, that second pain, that emotional pain. James says that the testing of your faith produces patience, and that patience will have its perfect work, and you will be complete and lack nothing. That is profit, my friends. If the situation or trial that you are in causes you to be more like Jesus, if it causes you to trust God more, if it causes you to draw closer to God, even in the midst of that suffering or trial, then it is for your ultimate good. And that is profit, my brothers and sisters. Amen? Hallelujah. So number three has more of a, it's of a discipline angle. I got in trouble at work. How many of us have been in trouble at work? Am I the only one? Nobody's ever had a box in security wave? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, guys. I didn't get fired. It felt like it, though. So number three, and this is for me, so don't take it personally. God's love helps you to grow and improve. How many moms and dads do we have here? So just like moms and dads love their babies, God loves you the same way. Even in your failures. Amen? Even in your failures. God's love allows you to change and grow into the person that he wants you to be. God loves you just as you are, but he also loves you enough to not let you stay how you are. He wants to see you grow and change for the better. So Proverbs 3:11-12 says, my child, Don't reject the Lord's discipline. Oh, there he is. And don't be upset when he corrects you, for the Lord corrects those that he loves. And just as a father corrects a child, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. See, same thing, mom and dad. Number four, guys. I don't want to keep you too long. Number four is, it's really important to me, and it's powerful. And there's nothing that number four, let me give it to you. When you are securing your relationship with God, nothing can separate you from God's love. Number four, when you are secure in your relationship with God, nothing can separate you from God's love. I tried to put something together to kind of share with that, but how many of us know that the Word of God is the most powerful thing that you can ever read? So the following two passages are, these two scriptures, these passages, they best summarize this point, so I'll read them to you. Ephesians 3, 18 through 19. It says, and may you have the power to understand. Get that? The power to understand. As all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. It says, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You know, I've said many a times that part where it says that it is too great to understand fully. You know, and in tears, you know, why would you pick somebody like me, you know? Weeping, not understanding fully. But, I mean, the scripture says you're just not going to understand it. Sometimes you have to accept it and just move on and know that God loves you like that. There's nothing that you can do to stop it. Romans 8, 35 through 39 is the other one. A little long. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing, it says that I am convinced, we should be convinced too, that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give him a round of applause. Yeah. These are beautiful passages that I look to when things get hard. And I understand that, you know, God is good. He has my ultimate good in mind. Number five, God's love for us should inspire us to love others. In John 13, it says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. You know, that's a hard one to apply, especially for me. You know, I come from a family. It's not the most fun family. I guess a lot of us could say that about our families. I try to love, and it's a hard task to follow through on. And I'll be the first to admit that, but he created each and every one of us in his image. He loves each and every one of you just like you are. And when we realize that, you know, that love that he has for your neighbor, it's a beautiful thing. Because then you want to serve him. You want to point him to Christ. You don't want to point them to you. You want to show them who Jesus is. And that will spill over, you know. So God is love, and our love for others points them to him. And because God loves us so much, his love should overflow from us into others. That's just so important to me, because at the end of the day, it's love God and love people, the two greatest commandments. And you got to love yourself too to be able to love others. So that's also an important part of that. And number six, we're going to go ahead and come on in for a landing, as they say. Number six is next steps. Next steps. The beauty of God's love is that he offers it freely. It's free to give. The Bible is full of references to God's love. Here's a few of them. Can't read them all today, so if you want to snap a photo and read them for homework. The first one is the chapter of love. Anybody seeing that? If you spent time in your Bible, you should automatically recognize the chapter of love. So the rest of them are stuff that I've shared in here, and I'll give you more detail. But he wants to have a loving relationship with each and every one of you guys. Not only during this life, but forever. Forever. That's a long time. Forever. I even put it on here with a lot of R's. Forever. That's a long time. There's a minister online. He has a rope, and part of the rope is taped red, and then the rest. And he says, the red part is your life. The rest of the rope is eternity. Man, when I saw that video, I was like, whew. The stuff of the world started to slip away, started to fall away. I didn't care about it no more. I cared more about being, you know, opening the doors for people. I'm happy there. I mean, I love it. Seeing people broken, changed, transformed. It's a beautiful thing, you know, especially when he's done it for somebody like me, who I thought was impossible to do. But like I said, you know, in the beginning, did you know that God loves every one of you? He loves you just as you are this morning. No matter your predicament, he loves you guys. Don't give up on God, because he hasn't given up on you. Amen? So this morning, I don't know if you guys know Jesus, but I would love for you to get to know him. Now remember, and this is something that I have to remind myself about, salvation is a free gift. There's nothing that you can do to earn it. It's free. It's one of my favorite words. If it's free, it's me. It's a free gift of grace that is not given on the merit of works. You got to remember that, because if not, you'll get caught up in that hamster wheel. Oh, you know, he's got one gold star. I can get two gold stars. That's not how it works. You know what I mean? You know, gold stars you got when you were in kindergarten and you did good. Yeah, that's not. It's free. I've been here long enough to do the Pastor Wooten's ABCs of Salvation. I love them. And A is admit that you have sinned. B is believe in Jesus. And C is confess that Jesus is Lord. I went ahead and threw in D, develop a relationship with Christ by reading your word. And I want to labor on that. Pastor always says, I remember sitting out here and he would say, you know, if you're struggling, you gotta put forth the effort. You got to give something, you got to give God something to work with. You got to give God something to work with. And I remember hearing them words, and this was pre-pandemic. I would have to drive to work. But I remember one day I said, well, I don't want to read the word. I guess I was too lazy. But I'd get my phone and I would put the Bible, and on my way from home to work, just that portion of scripture that I would hear, faith comes through hearing, you know? And that's how I was giving God something to work with. And when I started to listen to the scriptures, when I started to be obedient to the things that I read, and it ain't always easy. I stumbled a lot. I'm not perfect. But when I started to put forth that effort, that's when things started to change. That's when God started to show up in our lives. He lives in our house. He directs our paths. Everything that we touch, is blessed. And it's only because I've developed a relationship with Christ. I read His word. Take the necessary next steps. Amen. All right. Let's close in a word of prayer tonight or this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your sons and Your daughters this morning, Lord. The ones that You love just where they're at, Lord. You love them just like You love me, Lord. We admit, Lord, that we have sinned. We believe in You and we confess that Jesus is Lord and that He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, Lord. We want desperately to develop a relationship with You, Lord, by reading Your word and taking the necessary next steps, Lord, that we need to take to grow, to learn, to develop, to love You and to love Your people, Lord. We thank You and we love You for this time. Holy Spirit, just be with us. Have Your way in our hearts. And I just pray that as people travel to and fro this weekend on the Memorial Day holiday, Lord, that You would protect them, give them traveling mercies, Lord. We leave Your house, but never Your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.